The moment you touch this material, the moment you connect with the energetic signature of Saint Spiridon as described in the course, the first thing that hits you isn't a high buzzing electric frequency.
No, not at all.
It's not that ungrounded stratospheric vibration we sometimes get when we're working with, you know, certain high angelic modalities or very abstract celestial energies. It is warm.
It is absolute warmth. It's so distinct.
It's incredibly distinct. It's the warmth of the earth, but it's glowing.
Yes, that's it. And for us as practitioners who are in this field every single day, that distinction is just.
Yeah.
It's vital. We spend so much time navigating different frequencies, trying to find the right resonance for a client who might be flighty or ungrounded or, you know, dissociated.
Mm-hmm.
And if you throw high voltage electricity at a nervous system that is already fried, you don't get healing.
You get a short circuit.
You get a short circuit. Exactly.
Yeah.
But here you have Spiridon. And the immediate impression I got from the course and from, you know, working with the energy myself in sessions is this incredible duality.
Yeah.
You have the bishop, the high spiritual office, the connection to the divine mystery. But you never, ever lose the shepherd.
That is the archetype that I think makes this specific modality so usable in the modern holistic practice, the shepherd and the bishop. You know, usually we compartmentalize those things.
We do.
You have your earthy work, your taxes, your gardening, your body maintenance, and then you have your spiritual work, your meditation, your altar work. But Spiridon, as he's presented in the course, he refuses to separate them.
He really does.
He was a man of the earth, a shepherd in Cyprus, dealing with animals, weather, the dirt, the daily grind. And even when he attained that high office of bishop, even when he was performing miracles, he never stopped being that man of the earth.
Which is why the energy feels so accessible. I think that's the word the course uses, and it's just perfect. Accessible.
It really is.
We so often encounter spiritual figures or archetypes that feel, well, austere or distant, or maybe even judgmental in their perfection. You feel like you need to be clean before you approach them.
Right, you have to get yourself right first.
Exactly. Spiridon's frequency, as described here, is like sitting with a grandfather who has seen everything, judged nothing, and just wants to feed you while he fixes your problem.
Huh. Yes, that's a perfect description.
It bypasses the ego's need to be spiritual enough, and it goes straight to the heart's need for help.
Exactly. It's that grandfather energy. It's safe. And for our listeners, who are mostly practitioners, holding space for some very heavy trauma or, you know, complex energetic blockages in their clients, having a frequency that feels like a safe container instantly is a game changer.
A total game changer.
The course talks about holiness growing in ordinary places. That's the core metaphor here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, it is.
Holiness isn't just in the cathedral or the ashram. It's in the field, the kitchen, the ledger book, the commute.
And that appeals directly to the holistic model we all try to practice. We aren't trying to help clients escape their bodies or their lives to find peace. That's just dissociation. We are trying to bring the spiritual into the physical body, into the bank account, into the relationship dynamics. Spiridon is essentially the patron saint of spiritual integration.
I love that. Patron saint of spiritual integration.
He brings the high voltage down into a usable current.
So let's look at the context here, because the history really gives us the flavor of the energy. He's originally from Cyprus, early centuries of Christianity, but his relics and a massive amount of his active cult of veneration are in Corfu.
Right. And the course mentions this beautiful detail about the pilgrims in Corfu. When people go to see these relics, they don't describe feeling overwhelmed by awe or terror.
No.
They describe a quiet joy. And that's a very specific energetic signature.
It is.
It's not the lightning bolt. It's the sunrise. It's steady. It regulates the nervous system.
And speaking of context, we have to talk about the Council of Nicaea. The course highlights this famous story, the brick miracle. And honestly, even if you've heard it before as a religious story, looking at it through an energetic or alchemical lens is just, it's fascinating.
It's pure alchemy.
It completely recontextualizes him for me.
It is. So the setup is the Council of Nicaea, 325 AD. You've got all these theologians, these high-minded intellectuals, arguing about the nature of the Trinity with complex philosophy and rhetoric. They are completely in their heads.
Right. They're spinning logic.
Totally. And Spiridon, who isn't a scholar, who isn't there to make some fancy speech, he just steps up. He picks up a clay brick.
A brick. I mean, the most mundane, earthy object imaginable.
A brick, earth, baked mud. And to demonstrate the unity of the Trinity, how three can be one, he simply squeezes it.
Mm.
And the account says fire rises up from the brick, water flows down to the ground, and the clay remains in his hand.
Fire, water, earth.
Exactly. He deconstructed the object back into its elemental components to show the unity of the source. Energetically, this is profound.
So profound.
It tells us that Spiridon has a mastery over the elemental world. He understands the stuff of reality. It's not just a theological point. It's a demonstration of how spirit infuses matter. He didn't use a diagram. He used the elements.
And that visual fire up, water down, clay remains. It's such a powerful image of balance. For a practitioner, that's the goal, isn't it?
It is.
We want the client's spirit, fire, to rise and connect, their emotions, water, to flow and cleanse, and their physical vessel, clay, to remain solid and grounded.
It's a complete healing session in one single metaphor.
It really is.
And the takeaway the course emphasizes is that faith, and by extension, energetic work, can be clear without being complicated. Wisdom is different from fancy speeches.
Mm-hmm.
I think we as a community healers sometimes get bogged down in our own jargon.
Mm.
We overcomplicate the modalities. We think we need 3 hours of prep and 15 different tools.
We do.
Spiridon is a reminder. Pick up the brick. Squeeze it. Reveal the truth. Keep it simple.
Simple is definitely the watchword here. So let's pivot to the core application of this energy. The course frames Saint Spiridon as the opener of paths.
Yes.
Now, we've worked with road opener energy in various traditions. It's a staple in root work, in shamanic practices. But Spiridon's flavor of opening paths is, it's distinct.
It is. Very. Often, road opener energy can feel a bit aggressive. It's like a bulldozer, you know?
Yeah, it can be.
It clears the path, but it might knock down a few trees you wanted to keep.
Mm.
It's very Mars energy.
Right.
Spiridon's open paths energy is more like, well, like water finding a way through rock. It's gentle, but it's relentless. It's about clearing stagnation and removing the closed doors that create so much anxiety.
Let's get into the specifics, because the course lists several open paths modalities, and I really want to unpack them for our listeners to use in their sessions. The first one, and frankly the most requested one in my practice lately, is money and financial flow.
Always a huge topic.
Always.
The course states clearly, Spiridon helps when money is tight, bills are hard to pay, or expenses bring fear.
But here's the shift, and I love that the course makes this distinction. It's not just about manifesting cash in a vacuum. It's about peace of mind.
That is the critical difference. That's everything. We've all had clients who are in a scarcity spiral. Their nervous system is just locked in freeze or flight.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. They can't even look at their bank account without that jolt of panic.
Right. And if you try to do standard abundance manifestation work with them, it often just bounces off because their baseline frequency is fear. You can't build abundance on a foundation of terror.
No, it doesn't stick. They are vibrating at lack, so they attract more lack. It's a loop.
It's a vicious loop. Spiridon's energy works on the nervous system first. It makes the client feel held. The course says it helps them feel calmer and more able to take the next step.
Mm.
So imagine a client comes in. They are freelancing. The contracts have dried up. Rent is due in 5 days. They are panic breathing. They are literally incapable of strategic thought because of the stress hormones flooding their system.
It's a classic scenario we see all the time.
All the time. So if you bring in the spirit and frequency, you aren't just chanting for a check to appear in the mail, though, I mean, that can happen.
Sure, it can.
But what you're really doing is invoking a presence that stands beside them and says, we will handle this. And that drops their cortisol.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, because they are calm, they remember a contact they haven't emailed in 6 months. Or they see a solution to budget their remaining funds that they were too panicked to see before.
It opens the path by clearing the internal fog of fear. That's it. The miracle often looks like a sudden clarity or a coincidence that only happens because the person was calm enough to notice the door opening.
Precisely. The path opening is often an internal shift that allows the external reality to rearrange itself. The course mentions that the result is often a solution previously unseen.
Yes.
That's the shepherd's eye. The shepherd knows the terrain better than the sheep.
Mm.
Spiridon sees the path around the cliff that you are too scared to see.
I used this recently with a client who was terrified of a tax bill. Just
yep.
Paralyzed, wouldn't open the mail.
Mm, classic avoidance.
Totally. So we did the work invoking that warm, golden presence. And she reported back that she didn't win the lottery, but she got the courage to call the agency. And the person on the phone was incredibly helpful, set up a payment plan that was totally manageable. And the fear just, it evaporated. The path that opened was a path through the bureaucracy.
That is a classic spirit and result.
Yeah.
It's practical. It's dignified. It solves the problem in the 3D world. It turns a monster into a manageable task.
Yes. Which leads us so perfectly to the second application, work, dignity, and purpose. The course explicitly ties work to dignity.
And this resonates so deeply. Unemployment or a toxic workplace isn't just a financial issue. It's a soul issue. It erodes your sense of self-worth.
It really does.
Spiridon, being a worker, a shepherd, understands the dignity of labor. He knows what it is to be tired. He knows what it is to be responsible.
So how do we apply this? Let's say you have a client stuck in a toxic work environment. They are being bullied or they feel invisible. They want to leave, but they are terrified.
The energy here provides clear thinking and courage. It's discerning. It's not a blunt instrument. So sometimes the open path is the exit door, getting the confidence to apply elsewhere to finally update that resume.
Right.
But sometimes the open path is a shield that allows you to stay and do your work without absorbing the toxicity of your boss.
So it's that discernment of, is it time to leave or is it time to change the dynamic?
Exactly. I recall a case where a practitioner used this focus for a client who was being passed over for promotions. The client was bitter, angry, and understandably.
Of course.
The spirit and work didn't get them the promotion immediately. What it did was dissolve the bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
The client started showing up with more quiet dignity, channeling that Bishop Shepherd energy.
Ah.
They stopped engaging in the office drama. They stopped gossiping. They just did their work with this new calm presence. And within a month, a different department head noticed this new professionalism and poached them for a better role.
So the path opened because the vibration changed.
The vibration changed from victim to dignified worker.
Hmm.
And the reality mirrored that shift. The external world always eventually mirrors the internal state.
That segues perfectly into the next major section of the course, which is navigating injustice and conflict. This is where the bishop energy, the authority figure, really shines.
Yes, this is big. The course notes that Spiridon is a champion for those accused wrongly or blocked from what is right. This touches on legal issues, court cases, custody battles, heavy, heavy stuff.
It is. But there is a very specific mechanism mentioned here called the clean heart. This blew my mind when I read it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about winning the fight. It's about how you fight.
This is the nuance that separates this from, say, a curse or a revenge working, which we would never do. Spiridon helps you hold on to the truth without letting anger or bitterness rot the vessel.
And that is the hardest thing to do in a legal battle. You get consumed by the injustice. You want the other person to suffer. You rehash the arguments in the shower at 3 a.m.
And that rots you. It closes your own paths because you become dense with hate and cortisol. Spiridon's energy is a shield against bitterness.
Right.
It allows for a peaceful outcome. It keeps you light enough to move through the process without getting stuck in the mud.
So practically speaking, if I'm working with a client going through a really nasty divorce,
you invoke this to protect their heart. You ask Spiridon to ensure that truth prevails, but also that the client remains clean in the process. It helps them communicate with the ex-partner without the venom.
Huh.
And surprisingly, when one side drops the venom, the other side often loses their momentum. The conflict just de-escalates.
It de-escalates because you've removed the fuel. The fire has nothing to burn.
Right. And justice, in the spirit and sense, isn't always I crush my enemy. It's the truth is seen and the right path is established. It's a restoration of order.
That restoration of order applies to the home, too. The course talks about family harmony.
Healing arguments, distance, and misunderstandings in the home. Again, the course emphasizes the small step approach. It says change often starts small. A softer word. A calm moment.
I love that. It's so realistic. It's not a thunderclap of everyone is now happy. It's subtle.
It's the shepherd calming the flock. If you have a chaotic household, a teenager screaming, partners stressed, slamming doors, this energy changes the ambient temperature of the house.
Oh, I like that phrasing.
It brings a frequency of love returning where it has grown cold.
Love returning where it has grown cold.
Yeah.
That is such a beautiful phrase from the material.
It is. And practically, as a practitioner, you might advise the client to do the work specifically for the atmosphere of the home. You aren't trying to control the teenager's behavior.
No, because you can't.
You can't.
Yeah.
You are clearing the path for love to flow back into the room. When the space feels safe again, the teenager stops screaming because there's nothing to push against.
It's environmental healing. You're treating the space as the client.
Exactly. You're inviting the saint into the living room to just sit there. That warm, grandfatherly presence. It makes it very hard to sustain a screaming match when that energy is present.
Moving into the internal landscape now. We've talked about money, work, justice, family. Now let's talk about the inner alchemy, emotional regulation.
This is crucial for the learner profile we see in so many clients, the overthinkers, the anxious achievers. The course addresses anxiety and mental rest.
It describes the state where worries repeat and the heart feels tight. Who hasn't felt that?
Everyone, especially now. And Spirton is called the gentle helper here. He quiets thoughts.
So how is this different from, say, standard mindfulness?
That's a great question. Mindfulness is a cognitive practice. You are observing your thoughts. This is an energetic soothing. You are asking an external, high-frequency benevolence to help carry the load. The course says a short prayer can help the body relax and the mind breathe again. It's less about observation and more about surrender.
I've used this as a bedtime routine recommendation for those clients with insomnia where the mind starts racing the second the head hits the pillow.
Yes, absolutely. Spirton, please quiet my mind. It's almost like being tucked in by a loving presence. It grounds the mental energy down into the body, into that clay we talked about from the miracle.
Oh, back to the clay.
It stops the fire of the mind from burning out of control.
And when the mind is quiet, you can actually make decisions. This leads to the application for making wisdom-based choices.
The yes-no clarity. Oh, this is so needed. We face so many choices where the logic is fuzzy. Should I take this gig? Should I move to this city? The pros and cons list is perfectly balanced. You need intuition.
You really do.
The course says this energy gives you the strength to say no to the harmful and yes to the right thing.
And often the harmful thing looks very shiny. It looks like a great opportunity. But something in your gut, your solar plexus, just says off.
Exactly. Spirton, the shepherd, knows which grass is poisonous. He nudges you away from it, even if it looks lush and green.
I can see using this for practitioners themselves. We are so often asked to take on difficult clients or overextend our boundaries.
100%. This is a practitioner's tool for self-preservation. Spirton, is this client right for me? If you get a heavy, sinking feeling, it's a no. If you get that warm, open sensation, it's a yes. It cuts through the people-pleasing guilt of saying no.
Finally, in this section, the course touches on something really deep. Cultivating character. The internal miracle.
This is the long game. This is the advanced work. Asking for a softer heart, humility, and the ability to forgive.
When pride becomes smaller, peace grows. That's a line from the course that really stood out.
That is the deepest work of the course. It's not just about getting things. It's about becoming a vessel of kindness. Because if you get the money but you're arrogant, you'll lose it. If you get the justice but you're bitter, you won't enjoy it. He helps us become simple again in the best way.
It's returning to the shepherd state. Humble, watchful, kind.
Yes. And that is where the real power lies. A humble practitioner is a powerful practitioner because they aren't blocking the flow with their own ego.
So we've covered the what and the why. No, we have to give our listeners the how. The course outlines a very specific methodology called the Open Paths exercise.
And I want to stress to everyone listening, do not let the simplicity of this fool you.
Right.
We are trained to think that complex rituals equal more power. This exercise is powerful because it is streamlined. It removes the friction between you and the help.
So let's walk through the purpose of the steps so you understand the mechanism. It's designed for moments when life feels blocked or heavy.
Right. It starts with setting the container, creating a quiet space, lighting a candle, returning to the heart with 5 slow breaths.
Why is that return to the heart so critical in the course? It's mentioned over and over.
Because you cannot do this work from the head. The head is where the block is usually living. The anxiety, the circular thinking, the what ifs. The heart is the gateway to the connection. You have to drop the elevator down from the penthouse of the mind to the ground floor of the heart.
I like that. Then comes the invocation, calling the name and visualizing a warm golden light or a safe, humble presence.
This is about resonance. You are tuning your radio dial to the Spirton station. You want to feel that safety before you ask for anything. It builds trust.
Then naming the block, the importance of stating the closed door clearly. I need the right work path.
Precision matters here. You are identifying exactly where the flow has stopped. You aren't just complaining about your life. You are diagnosing a specific blockage.
Mm-hmm. Then the ask, please open the right path for me. And finally, receiving guidance. This is the visualization part.
Yes. Imagining a path clearing in front of you. But here's the key, and the course is very clear on this. You are waiting for one small idea or the next right step.
It's usually not a grand revelation.
No. It's a whisper. It's call your sister, or check your spam folder, or go for a walk.
It's the breadcrumb.
Exactly. And then closing with gratitude. But there is a component the course adds called a one-minute journal that I think is brilliant.
Yes, discuss that. It's the bridge.
It's the bridge from the etheric to the physical. The course suggests writing down, the next step I will take is, and you fill it in based on the guidance you just received, and you commit to doing it within 24 hours.
Why does this work so well? Why the 24-hour commitment?
Because it bridges the gap between energetic work and physical action. Trust plus action equals miracle. If you just do the prayer and then sit on the couch waiting, you aren't walking the path that just opened. This forces you to take the first step on the road Spirit and just cleared for you.
It grounds the energy into reality.
It does. It tells the universe, I am a co-creator, I heard you, and I am ready to move.
Reflecting on all of this, the course really emphasizes the simplicity of the method throughout. It says it doesn't require perfect language, only sincerity.
That's the shepherd again.
Yeah.
Sheep don't have to speak perfect Latin to be fed. They just have to be hungry and call out, love is stronger than fear. At the end of the day, that is the core message of this whole modality.
It discusses how Spiridon represents a bridge between high-frequency miracles, like the brick and the dirt and labor of being a shepherd.
And that's the bridge we all need to walk in our own lives, isn't it?
Mm.
We need to be able to handle the dirt of life with the frequency of a miracle.
I want to leave the listener with a final provocative thought. We live in a world that is obsessed with complexity. We want advanced modalities, quantum entanglements, complex systems.
We think complexity equals value. The more jargon, the better.
Exactly. But what if the most powerful energetic shift comes from the simple, humble admission of a need? What if the power isn't in the elaborate ritual, but in the trust?
And trusting that a path can open where a wall currently stands, that is the ultimate act of power. It's an act of faith in flow.
I want to leave you with the image of the brick. Earth, fire, water, all held in one hand. Just a reminder that you have the power to unify your own reality through faith and simplicity.
Exactly. You hold the brick, you have the power.
Thanks for this lesson. Go try it out.
Be well.